Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle.
And I found myself in this place where I was having these doubts and really questioning things. And so because truth is so important to me, I could not ignore that. And so I went on another journey and time of examining what it was that I believed. And I just made this intentional decision about clearing the table completely, just clearing it off and re-examining evidence as if I were an impartial juror, really taking it into consideration in that way and telling myself I need to follow the evidence wherever it takes me, no matter where it takes me.
That's a brave thing to do.
Yeah. Brave and scary as shit.
Yeah, no kidding.
It was very scary. But I had to.
Hello, everybody. This is Judy with Wellness Renaissance and the Wellness Renaissance Podcast. The voice you just heard was Carrie Beckin. And that little snippet gives you an insight to the strength of character that she had to have to go on the journey she's going to talk to you about today. A journey basically going from living her life in a fundamental religious framework, transitioning from that faith-based life through her personal pursuit of truth to being an atheist, and then sort of stumbling upon the fact that she is queer and taking that journey and truth-finding mission for herself forward, now identifying as a gender non-conforming queer atheist. She's going to take you through a little bit of that journey. As you can imagine, there are so many stories beyond what we have time for. But where that journey has brought her to is pretty fantastic. And her goal is to help people going through perhaps similar transitions, perhaps a transition that looks really different. You can imagine that she's had some pretty intensive life stuff to deal with throughout those transitions. Along with sharing her story, she also talks about coaching and the approach she takes and how she works with people. And she actually provides us with some really nice tools in various situations. So some fun things to get that gremlin off our shoulder and her advanced user-friendly take on SMART goals. So if you're a person who cringes when you hear the word SMART goals, she might have some insights you'll have to listen for. But before we dive in, I want to thank you so much for listening to this episode, to the podcast. Please check out the other episodes if you're not familiar with the podcast at wellnessrenpodcast.com. Subscribe on iTunes, and if you have an opportunity to leave a review, that would be fantastic and super helpful. So thank you so much. Please know that this podcast is my passion project, but really it is so much more. It is something I want to be able to continue doing forever, bringing ideas and helping people find the people and the pieces that help their life, their health, their mental health, their physical health, all of those things. And by your sharing this podcast, this episode with somebody who might find it useful, the podcast in general, if you know anyone who is trying to figure out their own health and who isn't these days with needing to sort of take a different kind of charge and do our own research, please share the podcast via Facebook. If you're on the email list, which you can get an email sent to you each time we put out a podcast episode, you can sign up right there on the website. Super easy. And if you are somebody who has signed up and you're not getting them, do check your spam filter or your spam folder and see if they have landed there. I want to send out a huge appreciation. We have a few more Patreon members. Thank you so much to Angie of Duluth and Connie of Texas, our farthest supporter away so far. Not our farthest listener, but our farthest supporter. So thank you so much to both of you. I am so grateful and appreciative for all of you who have become part of our Patreon community. Thank you so much for your support. It means the world. And as a Patreon supporter, For those of you who are not familiar, it is a way to support the podcast to help pay the bills that we have to pay to make this possible. And there's also some goodies on Patreon that you get as an actual member of Patreon as well. So if that's something you would like to be part of, please do check it out. Check out the different levels and see what feels good to you. And again, thank you so very much. And I also want to toss out a little plug for the other podcast that I am doing with Patricia Engelking. The podcast is called Sex Matters, and you might have guessed it is talking about sex and sexuality. Patricia is a sexual authenticity coach, and we are covering everything from sexual health, explore how people express their sexuality, our thoughts, opinions, studies, all that kind of stuff. And listeners submit their own questions, so it's fantastic. By the way, I'd be happy to take questions on this podcast as well. So we are looking to open the doors for the conversations to happen, be they in our own head or with those around us. So check that out at sexmatterspodcast.com. You can also find a link right on the wellnessrenpodcast.com page on the menu bar on the right. And I think I forgot to mention that if you want to become a Patreon member, you can also go to that same page and you will see the Become a Patron button. And that is where you can explore all of the options. All right, let's head on into our conversation with Carrie. Enjoy. I'm excited to have you here. We've been talking about doing this for a while.
We have. And it has been a while.
I'm really excited.
I'm really excited to be here.
I'm glad because we've had some amazing conversations, and I just think you bring so much to what you're doing, and it's great. So I'm excited to share that with the world and have them learn about you. So introduce yourself and what you're doing and how you got here.
Okay. Very broad.
I know.
All right. It's okay. My name is Carrie Beckin, and my pronouns are she, they, and I'll kind of get into that a little bit in my journey. So let's see. I am currently in the process of transitioning from, being an employee. So I pay the bills by working, a day job, quote unquote day job. Mm-hmm. But I'm in the process of finishing my certification. And maybe by the time this comes out, I actually will have all that done because I can actually see and almost touch the finish line.
Nice.
So that's exciting. But I will be a certified professional life coach with the Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching, which is IPEC.
Okay.
And hoping that that's going to be what I'm doing full time. I have so many amazing ideas and dreams, and this is sort of that step in that direction. But how I got there is a long and winding journey, which I'm thinking many people can maybe relate to.
Mm-hmm.
That we tend to have these journeys that we go on, and mine basically started back, I would say, in my mid-20s was when I started maybe having that first real wrestling match with just life, and what life means and all of that. And I grew up in a very, traditional Minnesota environment. I had an amazing childhood. I would go back to being a kid in a heartbeat. And some people can't say that.
Oh, my
you
gosh.
Say that,
yes, I was
right?
going to say, ooh, wow.
But I would. I loved being a kid. I grew up pretty much in Duluth. And I mean, obviously, I'd like to go back knowing, some of the things I know now.
For sure.
It would make things even better. But in my mid-20s is kind of when I had that first, what they call, I suppose, a quarter-life crisis, and it was right around that time where I really started sort of asking these questions about, and specifically, religion was an important part of my life growing up. So I grew up in a very traditional conservative Lutheran home. And so that was sort of where some of that dissonance was happening initially. And so what happened at that time, which I understand now, I didn't know back then, but I went on sort of a fact-finding journey that was covered with confirmation bias. So that's when you start to look at information and you try to figure out what it is you believe by really looking through the lens of what you already believe and looking for something to confirm that. And so that's what I did without knowing it. And so at the time, what that ended up doing was leading me down a more fundamental path. in my life. So I ended up spending, that was around 1998. And so from 1998 until 2014-ish, I was in a very narrow, fundamental, religious framework of life. Okay. And it became everything. It became my identity. It became my community. It became my career. So I've done mostly social service work and ministry work up until this point in my life. Worked a lot with at-risk youth. And then even in ministry, a lot of my focus was on young people. So I went through this season of social work and ministry. And then, let's see, 2013-ish or so, at the time, I was working for a local ministry organization. That was my full-time job. And I was doing like bookkeeping and admin work at one half. And the other half, I was like teaching and small group facilitating. And I was going up to the detention center here in Duluth, the Arrowhead Juvenile Center. And I did that for, boy, I want to say it was almost like 6 years. I would go up and once a week, and I was meeting with the young people who were in lockup, and we would have quote-unquote Bible study time. And what happened was, in around 2013, I started having this cognitive dissonance. And so I'd be in these groups, and I'd be talking with these young people, and we'd be talking about, you know, God and the Bible and things like that. And it was almost like if you've ever had that experience where you see yourself almost like a third person, like you're having this conversation and you're examining this at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so I'm answering these questions. And at the same time, in my mind, I am having a conversation with myself where I'm like, really? Like, is this really true? And truth has always been the heartbeat. Like, it has always been the driving force in my life. And I would say that in those groups, I'd be like, if I didn't believe this was true, I wouldn't be here. Mm. If something isn't true, if something isn't real, if I am not interested, right? And so, you know, the ironic thing is that very thing, that very drive is what eventually sort of led me, as we'll keep talking, led me out of and into something completely, you know, a completely different area. But that's where that dissonance began again, right? So what, midlife crisis, I suppose, right? right on time, early 40s, and I'm reexamining again. And I wasn't, and I always have to tell people, you know, I wasn't a Christmas Easter Christian. Right? I was an all-in, read the Bible in Hebrew, study the scriptures.
Wow.
I could, you know, stand on the street corner and argue with people, that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. for better or for worse, right? now, mostly for worse. But so I had, you know, all of this information and training and very solidly believed. And I found myself in this place where I was having these doubts and really questioning things. And so because truth is so important to me, I could not ignore that. And so I went on another journey and time of examining what it was that I believed. And I just made this intentional decision about clearing the table completely, just clearing it off and re-examining evidence as if I were an impartial juror. Really taking it into consideration in that way and telling myself I need to follow the evidence wherever it takes me, no matter where it takes me.
That's a brave thing to do.
Yeah. Brave and scary as shit.
Yeah, no kidding.
It was very scary. It was very scary, but I had to.
And you were, I assume, alone on this journey in this process, right?
Yes. Yeah. I really didn't have anybody in person to talk to about it with, because mm-hmm. my community, my workplace was all faith-based.
Wow.
Everything. Yeah. So the internet actually became my refuge. It became a source of being able to access information and also to connect with other people having those same kind of questions. So I started to realize that I wasn't crazy, I wasn't alone, that, you know, this is an okay place to be. And so basically what happened is I had this wrestling match for almost a year for the first phase. And in that first year, then I made that transition from, at the time, I was very much into the Messianic Jewish or Hebraic Christian rooted version of Christianity. And so if you were to look at me and how I practiced my faith and my religious beliefs, you would have thought I was Jewish. I was very much, you know, I planned and held Passover Seders, the, you know, Feast of Tabernacles, Day of Atonement, you know, Yom Kippur, all these things, right? Yeah. I was very much kept the Sabbath very strictly for like 13 years. I kept biblical kosher. I mean, it was the whole deal. And the first transition that I went through was really the question of the Messiah. And was Yeshua really the Jewish Messiah? And that was the first question that I dealt with and wrestled with for a year. And I came to the conclusion that he wasn't. And so that was a huge shift for me, because that was the cornerstone of my belief mm-hmm. and my entire identity for my entire life. And so I made sort of the transition then into more of an Orthodox Jewish perspective, or what was called Karaite Judaism, which really looked at the Tanakh, or what Christians would call the Old Testament, the scriptures, without all of the Talmud and the oral Torah. Like, that's interesting and can be used for information, but it wasn't considered like the word of God. So this form of Judaism was based on the scripture, okay? And I thought that's where I would stay. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought I had found it, right? But if anybody who has been on this journey of religious belief, especially within fundamental Christianity, knows that the issue and the question of Jesus is like paramount. So if you walk away from Jesus, you decide something different, that's a very huge deal.
Right.
And the doctrine of hell is a very real thing in our minds at that time. And so I had made that decision, I felt good in that decision, but yet I wanted to sort of make sure that I hadn't made a mistake. So I sort of, you know, I kept studying, learning, examining, that kind of a thing. And in the process of doing that, all the other stuff started to fall apart. And I found myself in, it was like the summer of 2015, I found myself really faced with this question of, you know, is God even real, right? Like, is any of this real? And I had this moment, for those of you who are Wizard of Oz fans, and crazy. It was I hadn't seen that movie in years, but it happened like in the blink of an eye. And which is kind of interesting, I think, in our journeys. It can be a long process, right? Of wrestling and then all of a sudden there's that defining moment.
The moment of clarity.
And it was exactly like that. It was in the blink of an eye. And in that moment, I saw that scene from The Wizard of Oz with Dorothy and the gang standing in front of the wizard,
mm-hmm.
and you know, all of a sudden things start to go crazy, right? The smoke and everything's like out of control, and you, all of a sudden the voice is, you know, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. And this is what I saw in my mind, and I was like, I've just seen the man behind the curtain, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I whispered to myself, I said, oh my God, I think I'm an atheist. And it was like in that moment, everything was gone. And it's like, once you see the man behind the curtain, you can't not see him, right? No matter how much you wish you could change that.
Right.
You can't.
Right.
You've seen the man behind the curtain. And so that became, at the moment, was a very dark night of the soul, while at the same time really being the springboard that led me into liberation.
Right. I can imagine that would be just an internal, like, because your whole life was built around mm-hmm. this just internal, I grew up Missouri Synod Lutheran.
Same here. Yep.
Yeah.
Same
and yep. And we were definitely more than Christmas, Easter. You know, mm-hmm. we didn't do, like, I remember when I was in confirmation that I had to go to, and I called one of my friends, or one of my co-confirmation people, because honestly, I wasn't really friends with anybody in my confirmation.
Okay.
They were fine people, but I never fit in with anybody. I only, the kid that I liked was the druggie, and he was the one that I got along with the best, and that doesn't mean we were great friends, but he was the most real to me.
Hey. Okay.
And I called, and my co-classmate was like, oh, we're going into Bible study, can you give you a call back? And I was like, oh my God. you really do that? Like, that was, like, I didn't know that, and I was, like, I was in that moment thanking whatever God there was that my family didn't do that, because okay. I thought this would have been so uncomfortable in our house, and there's always been the push to church and things like that, but my, like, and I don't even know what I would say I am. Like, I'm not even confirmed as to what I think. I still am kind of in the, I'm open to stuff,
right,
you know?
Right.
But when I took a college class about looking at the Bible and started realizing that nobody who taught me the Bible had ever read it, because all of these things were coming out. I was like, my thing now is like, have you ever read Job? Has anybody ever read Job? Because it was like, all of the stuff that they have always said is not true is sitting right there in Job. Mm-hmm. And not even if it's real or not, but nobody was teaching me what was in the Bible. So if you're not teaching with a boom, like, all right, I don't need to worry about that. Like, new paths, because it's like, if you can't teach it,
right,
then what am I doing here? What have you done with me all of these years? Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting thing when you just have those moments that all of a sudden shift your world. And I was, I was not immersed in it. So for me, it was like, not such a big deal, okay. Right? And I had distance and things like that, but I cannot even imagine what you went through. Hey, I just wanted to take a quick second to break in and make a clarification, just because I know that I wasn't clear, and some people I think will totally get it, and other people maybe not so much. So when I talk about the fact that when I was growing up and wasn't taught what was in the Bible, all I'm basically saying is that I was not taught the completeness of what was in the Bible. For instance, it was very selective. One real quick example is that I learned very much that the Bible said, respect your parents. And when I actually read it and discovered that the next verse is, parents, respect your children, that was something that was never, ever stated in church. Long list of those types of things, but just wanted to hopefully create a little bit of clarification about what I didn't fully say in our discussion.
Yeah, and it was, you know, for me, and kind of leading up to that moment, I had very strategically, you know, gone through all those right steps that you're supposed to go through when you leave a job. So I had left my position at the ministry that I was working for at the end of April of that spring. And I had lined up a new full-time job at another place. So I'd done everything right without knowing that all of this stuff inside of me was just getting ready to sort of explode. And so that new job that I had lined up didn't work out. And for the first time, which is not like, that's not me, right? It didn't work out. And that was like devastating in and of itself. Mm-hmm. But I found myself shortly thereafter was when I had that Wizard of Oz moment, right? And everything, all the faith just completely went away. So I found myself that summer of 2015, I found myself unemployed. I found myself without my community support that I had always had. And I found myself sitting in the midst of a bunch of rubble of everything that I once believed was true that wasn't. And I almost didn't make it through that summer, if I'm completely honest with you, to try to figure out what made life worth living at that point. Mm-hmm. Was a very challenging task. Thankfully, I was able to make it through and find some of that, those little lifelines, right? Mm-hmm. That kept me going. And so what happened was then in the process of sifting through that rubble for about a year, where I really sifted through a lot of that religious baggage and letting all of that stuff fall away, that's when the coaching piece started to sort of seep in. Like, I started being exposed to the world of coaching, like just knowing that it was out there. I hadn't worked with a coach at that point yet, but it was out there. And I had come really close at that time to actually reaching out and maybe considering doing some therapy, which I had never done before. But for me at the time, I had a lot of limiting beliefs and resistance to that, because I was still coming out of so much of the baggage of the religious stuff, which a lot of times says that, you know, that's a weakness and all of that kind of stuff. So I never, but I came really close. So I was just more open, I think, to the idea of actually working with someone, mm-hmm. and working through some of these things that I was dealing with. So that first year, that's when I, you know, timeline wise, it kind of gets a little mushy, but I know it was right in there that I started really exploring the world of coaching. And I ended up connecting with one of a local life coach here who was on one of your podcast episodes, Sarah Vandermaiden. So if you haven't heard that episode, go back and listen to Sarah. She rocks. Hey, Sarah. And so what happened was I had a couple things that were going on. And so, and I don't remember, if I go timeline wise, I'm not exactly sure what happened first, but in the next summer of 2016, almost, you know, if I had kept like a more detailed journal, it wouldn't surprise me if it was almost to the day. But I had, which is another important part of my story. So I came out of the religion. I had this year of sifting through the rubble, sort of trying to get back on my feet again. That summer, people will laugh if there's any Gilmore Girl fans out there. Hey, you gotta add this part to the story because it just makes it fun. I had never watched the Gilmore Girls when it was on like regular TV, but I had finally like dived into the world of Netflix. And I had remembered hearing that, you know, Netflix, you know, that the Gilmore Girls was a good show. And so I had found it on Netflix and I had been binge watching the Gilmore Girls. And I was a good way into the series. And I remember watching it, and that's that summer of 2016, I'm watching, and all of a sudden I had to pause the episode and I was like, okay, I think I have a girl crush on Lauren Graham, who's the lead, one of the lead actresses, for those of you who are Gilmore Girls fans. That's Lorelai. So, and I was like, and I don't mean like, ooh, cool Hollywood celebrity. I meant, I think I have a girl crush. And that was like the first time that I allowed myself to let that come in and then really be open to it. And it was the beginning for me now of sort of that second stage of this rebirth in my 40s, I guess.
Right.
Of really finding out who I am. So I went on another journey of about a year before I really let other people in on the process of the fact that, you know what, I am recognizing and I'm beginning to understand and I'm accepting and I'm embracing the fact that I'm queer. And that was another big moment in my life. Okay.
And something that you, like, do you even have an insight to that for yourself as growing up? Like, do you think you were pushing anything down, or it was just not even an option? It was just not even a consideration.
You know, it's interesting because I think about that, you know, on and off. I kind of go back, and it's a little bit of both and, right? Because, you know, I grew up in the 70s and the 80s, and so it wasn't as front page or front burner. It wasn't talked about or as well known as it is today, thankfully. Now it's out in the open and people talk about it more, and as kids you're exposed to it. So I kind of wish, you know, I wish when I was 10 that I'd had some of that exposure and information. It might have made a difference. So I know that there are times, I can't really pinpoint maybe like when it maybe started, but I know probably into maybe some high school moments or into college in my adult life that there were moments, but if they seeped in, I immediately squashed them. So if you can think of like the whack-a-mole game, if you ever played that with a little, and you whack it right away, that was like that. So anytime any thought of that might come to the surface, I was like, no, wham. Just squash, not going there.
Right. It's just a sinful thought.
Exactly. And then the other part would be, and even if I was, it's not an option. Because I grew up in the fundamental stream of belief where it was considered very much a sin and an abomination. Right. And therefore, I'm just not even going to go down that road because it's not an option. So I shut that part of me off completely. So now kind of coming into this space, and it's still a journey because now I'm really coming to terms with the fact that, you know, how I identify, because queer is a very broad thing, right? And learning that there's a spectrum, right? There's this, that was like mind blowing to me. And so like, oh my gosh, now I'm starting to understand myself. That's not like black, white, either or, male, female. It's like there's the spectrum of sexuality and gender identity.
Right.
And so I've landed in this place where I identify, I use the term queer because I feel like that just fits me better. And gender nonconforming is what I prefer over non-binary. It's similar to non-binary, but I feel like when I use the term non-binary, I feel more like it's a neither nor.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And gender nonconforming to me is more of a both and. Mm-hmm. So because I have this masculine feminine kind of combo it fits better. So
yeah, it's interesting because the non-binary, it almost puts you in the middle where it's like, you can't then be, in my mind, I feel like it has this feeling of then you can't express either. Mm-hmm. Then you're stuck in that middle road as opposed to being whatever.
Right. And for some, and for those who identify as non-binary, there are some who that is how they feel. They feel neither nor.
Right.
They feel like they really don't have a gender. But some who identify as non-binary also feel that both and. They just the non-binary... It fits for them.
Right. And I can totally understand that. I mean, to me, when I think about the term, I totally can get that you can go wherever you want to. Just when I think of the word, it feels constricting in some weird way. Where, yeah.
Yeah. So gender nonconforming, when I heard that phrase, I was like, yeah.
Right.
That feels right. That fits. So, and then like with the queer, so I'm open to, I just landed on this page of, it's not about a person's anatomy to me, it's who is the person in front of me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, is there an attraction? Is there common values? Are we sharing, you know, similar goals and purpose? And is there, you know, the synergy? It's not about like how what were you assigned at birth and what's your anatomy today and how do you identify? That's more an aside thing. So I kind of say, you know, I'm queer, pansexual, gender nonconforming, which is like, there's a whole different world I didn't even know existed really from all the years growing up. And so, you know, all this to sort of say, like, to come into the coaching, right? Because now I'm like, okay, now what am I going to do with the rest of my life, right? Because I just don't fit in these boxes of my past. Mm-hmm. I just don't. And I've always had this desire to do something of my own, you know, and I've dabbled a little here and a little there, but I've never just really been able to figure out what it is that I could actually, you know, build on and really bring to the world that had meaning and value and could make a difference and so forth. And so that's where, between my own personal journey of sort of struggling with these things and being ready to really maybe work with someone to help me get clarity, and this desire to create something of my own, it's sort of the coaching just really sort of started to come into view for me. So going back to Sarah, so I had seen some ads in around town, and so I was aware of her, like I was aware of her existence, but I didn't have the courage to like reach out and actually like call and explore. But then she was offering a class through Community Ed. And it was a one-night class on, it was something like midlife career changes or something, which the topic fit, right?
Right.
I mean, it fit, but that wasn't really the reason I went. I really went because I was curious, more curious to find out who is this person and what is this like coaching stuff about?
Right.
I wanted to sort of get a feel. So I really, that was my main intention of going to the class. And so I went, it was just a one-night, one-evening thing. And I found the experience to be very rewarding and very helpful. And it was enough to open that door. And so then from there, I ended up working with Sarah in a group setting. So with group coaching. And and so we...
that's how I met you.
That's how I met you. That's right. That's how I met you. And that was a good experience.
It was a good experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It was the first like group coaching thing I think I'd ever done.
Okay.
And it was nice to have that connection with other people and people kind of doing kind of similar things and having some feedback. And yeah.
Yep. Yep. And it was for me too. It made it financially more accessible for me at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it also took some of that edge of the fear off. Because there was other people, right?
Right, yeah.
At least for me.
To build off of other people, and sometimes it's other people's feedback or struggles
and
successes that help you figure your own stuff out.
Exactly. And so then, if you remember, at the end, sort of the end of the group session time, Sarah had made the offer to, you know, if we wanted to take her up on a free session to do an individual coaching. Right. And so I was like, hell yeah. Like, why wouldn't I? Right? Like, yeah, I want to try this, right? It's free. And yeah, so I did that. And then from there, I actually ended up working with Sarah for a little bit. And it was right at the time, April, May 2018. And I remember that because that's when I was at that place of really making the decision about, is this something I want to pursue? Mm-hmm. And so actually, I think a lot of my coaching sessions with Sarah were sort of around that, sort of me sort of trying to figure out, is coaching something that I want to pursue? Is that my thing? You know, kind of great. And so, well, obviously, I came to the conclusion that yes, it was.
Spoiler alert.
Right, spoiler alert, we wouldn't be talking. And so so May of 2018, I made the commitment. And it was a big commitment for me because I wasn't, you know, I'd gone back to working for a nonprofit here locally. I work at a homeless shelter for young adults. And so it's like I'm not making, you know, a lot of money. I just make enough to pay the bills and whatnot. And so, but to make this investment, and that's a mindset thing. I keep having to tell myself that it's not about like going into debt. It's about making an investment in my future. Mm-hmm. And so, and it was a big investment, but I knew that this was the training I was interested in. It resonated with me and it was the right path. And so for the last year, that's been my life in a lot of ways has been going through the certification process and starting to build some of the business framework and all of those things. And it's been amazing. And I've grown on a personal level as much as I've grown on a professional level.
Mm.
So, you know, just with the coaching and the tools and the skills and then being able to begin to start to really step into that role. Yeah.
So a couple things come to mind that I think of hearing from my childhood and things like that. So, you know, I know that some people might say, well, you're new to this coaching thing. Mm. So what does that mean with working with you or kind of thing? And I think a couple things about that. I think one of them is you're fresh through some of these intensive journeys, so you can speak to them very well. Where sometimes when you've worked with somebody who's been doing something for a really long time, but it's been a long time since they've been through the muck and the mud, they don't remember the muck and the mud very well. And it's sometimes it's hard. It almost feels like you can't relate to them incredibly. Not that with coaching, there isn't stuff on a daily life that everybody deals with, right, for sure. But I still think that, you know, can really apply when you're hitting hard, intense transitions. And, you know, and you've been through some intensive stuff, right? So I always think of the example that I used to hear as a kid when there were marriage therapists. Mm. And if they didn't have a perfect marriage, there was the judgment of, well, how can you be a marriage therapist? You don't have a perfect marriage. And I understood that to be true as a kid. Like, that made some sense to me. Then as I got older and started, you know, it's like, how can you be a marriage therapist in some ways if your marriage totally works? Like, how do you, you know, I mean, and that isn't to say that you don't have things to bring to the table, because I still think you can. Mm-hmm. But, I can see both sides of that coin, but it's an interesting process of, well, some of the greatest people who are working with marriages have had their struggles, and some of them have made it through and some of them have not, but what have they taken away from that? Right. And so it's cool that you've just been through so much and processed through and made it, and then have that desire to really work with other people. And that's kind of exciting. Like, to be somebody, to work with you as this kind of, oh my gosh, you get where I'm coming from, you know?
Okay, yeah. So two thoughts come to mind as you're saying that, Judy. You know, and one of them, it was a struggle for me too, because I, you know, with coaching, life coaching as a profession is becoming much more organized. Mm-hmm. But right now, it's still in a place where, you know, you don't have to have any kind of training or certification or licensure. It's not like the world of therapy, you know, where you have to have those things. And so, you know, a year ago when I decided, yeah, I wanted to do this, I could have just put a shingle out and said, I'm open for business. And in a way, I had the life experience and a lot of the work I had done already just within social work. I sort of have done a lot of this, but I wanted to, when I made the decision to take the training and to get the certification, it went back to sort of that truth and integrity piece in me, because I wanted to make sure that I understood the difference between therapy and counseling and consulting and mentoring and coaching, because they're all different. They all play different roles. Mm-hmm. And so that was part of the reason that I pursued the certification. And I'm really glad that I did, because not only has it given me a lot more tools and clarity in that, but just even personally has helped me.
Well, you're working through the whole process as you are getting certified in the process.
Exactly. Because part of our training, obviously, is to practice coaching skills. And so we would be matched up with our peers. And we did two rounds of 12 weeks where I had a peer who was assigned to me that I would coach, and another peer who coached me. And we did that in two rounds. So I had 24 weeks of not only me practicing being a coach, but I was the client being coached.
Right.
And that was huge. That was a huge part of this journey and process for me. And how I really started to recognize the value of, I miss it. Actually, now that that part of the training is done, I'm starting to think about who should I, because, you know, just because I'm a coach doesn't mean that I don't need coaching.
Right.
I want coaching.
Coaches need coaches. Therapists need therapists. Exactly. Doctors need doctors. So.
It's just been super beneficial. And, you know, we're talking about health and wellness. It's been a huge piece for me dealing with, you know, anything from depression, anxiety, just new coping strategies. You come out of religion, the coping strategy was prayer and the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Well, that ain't there no more. Right. So it's like, now what? How do I cope with this anxiety? How do I cope with this depression, overwhelm, whatever it is that I'm feeling? I had to relearn and reframe so many things.
Right.
And the second point that I thought of when you were talking about that is, you know, in the business world, we hear a lot about how it's important to craft your ideal customer avatar, right? Where you sort of visualize this person, that this is the person I'm talking to. This is the person I'm creating for. This is the person I want to reach. And you create this avatar. And I used to always kind of freak out about that. It felt very, I don't know, it never really resonated with me. It felt limiting. I just wasn't ever sure about what that piece was. And then just in the last week, I heard somebody talking about how our ideal avatar and customer and person that we want to connect with is really yourself. And when I heard that, that really resonated. So when you talk about the fact that I'm kind of fresh out of the muck and the mud, it really is that person who is my ideal avatar, in the sense that somebody who's struggling with doubts about, and you know, specifically my story had to do with religious fundamentalism, but it could be struggling with doubts about beliefs in general, or any imposed expectations that, you know, the shoulds, like, I should be living life this way, right? I need to be doing things this way. This is how the world works. This is how I was raised to believe. And now you're having these doubts, and maybe you've already decided that you don't want to do it that way anymore, but now you're in this black hole of,
what does this mean? What do I do? Where do I land?
Yeah. Exactly. And then also with the sexual gender identity. So those are my people. Those are my folks, right? That would be my, I guess, my specialty niche.
Right.
You know?
Well, those are huge. I mean, those are huge life, huge things, right? Your religion, your belief system, it guides everything you do. And then sexuality, this framework that you've lived in, and all of a sudden, ha, 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 we're just going to blow that up too. Okay. Yeah. Now what? And then you worked in it, you know? So it's... That's a lot to walk out of. I mean, I think, you know, some people, if you haven't lived, and I haven't lived in the world that you lived in for sure, and how intense that was, but that's a huge thing to have the courage. I hear the stories of the people who said, I fought examining how my belief system for 10 years, 15 years. And then I finally did. And so, you know, there are people out there. There are how many pastors haven't you heard about how, you know, the last years they just finally hit, I can't teach this anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't believe this. And you're walking away from so much of your life. And it's so much into a world of unknown. So I just think that to be able to do that yourself and to be able to help other people walk through a journey, whatever that journey is, doesn't have to be that same one, but somebody feels like something is a big, big, huge deal shift. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. And so people ask me, like, what kind of coaching, you know? And so I speak of myself as a core energy transitions coach.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So, and part of that, and that's why I was drawn to IPEC, because sort of the foundation of IPEC it really is about energy leadership. And so I need to kind of clarify this a little bit, because for me, you know, coming out of the religious piece, I'm very cautious and I'm very skeptical about anything that, you know, smells or looks or anything that is a woo-woo, you know, variety. And so, and a lot of times you hear the word energy and it's like, whoa, you know, wait a minute, like, mm-hmm. I ain't going down that road. You're going to get all like new agey or whatever on me. Really, it's about more the scientific part of energy and the fact that we are all, everything is energy, right? And so that is a piece that I can grab onto. And I know from my past experience in religion, there were things I experienced, right? There were things that happened. And back then, of course, you attribute them to, you know, the Holy Spirit or God moving and this kind of thing. And so it's about now reframing. How do I reframe that? Because there is something, but it isn't this mythical deity who's up there, you know, doing, you know, telling us this and that and pulling strings. And it's not that. And so I landed in this space of really looking at it as a universal conscious energy, right? Or like a creative energy. And so this core energy, obviously, we all have certain energy that we, it's how we, you know, on our bad days, I just don't have any energy, right? Or I wish I had more energy. Or you know those days, right? And you can know anybody who's walked into a room and you can sense the vibe, right? The energy of the room, whether it's like positive and upbeat and wow, this is like, oh, I'm loving the space that I'm in right now. Or you walk in and you're like, whoa.
What did I just
tense,
walk into?
Yeah. Right? Tense, draining, what is going on, right? And you can't get out of there fast enough. It's that kind of energy that I'm talking about. And we all operate in our lives from a core energy, right? And so with the coaching, a lot of what I've, you know, now have incorporated into my skill set is really working with people on, it's about creating awareness and consciousness. And so that we are aware of these habits and patterns that we're in, and then being able to shift so that we can go from some of these lower states of energy, which are more draining, to shifting into higher levels of energy that are more constructive. And help us move forward. Mm-hmm. And so that's where that core energy and then the transitions is, because that's sort of my wheelhouse with my journey is these different changes. So I always talk about, let's come out of, right? We're coming out of, and you fill in the blank. I'm coming out of, fill it in, and I'm stepping into. And I sort of summarize the stepping into as the possibility of what could be. And that can look different for everybody, mm-hmm. you know, but that's that transition. And it can be a very scary thing to come out of whatever the coming out of piece is and stepping into whatever that new thing is.
Right.
And it's navigating that.
Can you speak to, mm-hmm. and just thinking of the example that you're giving of the whole energy, you know, lower energy, kind of higher energy. Mm-hmm. Can you speak to a little bit of that, or maybe what that might look like for somebody, or how they may experience that, or sure. just to kind of be more clear?
Yes. Great question. And I think we talked about maybe doing another interview down the road.
Yeah.
Because one of the certifications that I'm just in the process of finishing is with this unique assessment that IPEC offers, and it's called the Energy Leadership Index Assessment. Basically, there's these 7 levels of energy, and there's advantages and disadvantages to every single level. We ebb and flow through all the levels, okay? And the bottom two, one and two, are the more catabolic. They're the more draining types of energy. And then three through seven are the more anabolic, constructive, life-giving, growth-oriented type of energies. And so probably the best way to explain it is in the process of doing this, the certification piece, we all took the assessment, right? And then we had to debrief five of our peers, and we were debriefed by five of our peers, right? And so in the process of my peers debriefing myself, I gained some really amazing insight into myself as to how some of this energy plays out in my life. Mm-hmm. So what I discovered is my primary level of operating. So when I'm just going through life, just normal circumstances, everything's kind of going smoothly, I tend to operate at level four, which is characterized with sort of the attributes of being caring and compassionate. It's sort of that service type of level. And then when I'm hit with a stressor, right, something curveball of life, something, you know, I dip down into level one, mm-hmm. which is more of that apathetic, I withdraw. So it's a withdrawal, I'm apathetic, and that can last for any of us, depending on the circumstance, situation, or coping skills. It could last for a few seconds, it could last for hours, it could last for days, it could last for weeks, it could, you know, it depends on how we're, you know, dealing with that in our life. Mm-hmm. And so one thing that really stood out to me was at my current place of work, I would find myself going through these cycles of getting frustrated, which is kind of level two, right? Okay. A little frustration, conflict thing going on at certain things. And then I would sort of be like, I'm done. I don't care. And I'd kind of throw my hands up and I'm just like, I'm done engaging with this. It's somebody else's problem. I'm just going to focus on what I need to do, and I'm going to focus on the residents. And I would say, I don't care. And I'd kind of withdraw from that and just get apathetic about it. Mm-hmm. But then every single time, after a certain amount of, you know, whatever time would go by, I would care. So I would be caring again, and I'd be trying to make the difference, and I'd be trying to whatever. And then I'd get frustrated, and then I'd be like, I don't care. I'm just done. Right? And I came really close to like quitting my job because I would get this cycle, right? Would keep cycling. And what I started to understand just with this assessment and having one of my peers debrief me was I saw how it makes sense that I would shift down into this don't care, but eventually I would care again because I have to care. Right. That's like that's my wheelhouse. That's how I'm wired. That's right. My main heart. And so once I started to recognize that, now I'm aware. So my awareness is up, which helps me to better consciously navigate the situation. Mm-hmm. And I'm not stuck as much or as often, right, or as long in these different, you know, cycles that we find ourselves, or these habits or patterns.
Right.
So that, you know, maybe that helps. Mm-hmm. That's just a real practical example from my life of how, you know, understanding those energy levels and it really, it's about awareness so that you can make a conscious decision.
Right. Be able to see that about yourself or whatever's going on and going, okay, this is what's going on here. It's easier to back up and re-enter a situation that way, for sure. You talked about your ideal client. Really, you're open and available to anybody, anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to give you sort of my elevator pitch.
All right.
Or whatever. Just sort of like when people ask me kind of coaching or therapy, because it sort of sums it up. And, you know, a lot of people talk about the difference between, like, they'll ask, what's the difference between coaching and therapy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the best way that I heard it said was that therapy is about healing the past and coaching is about creating the future. And so one of the reasons that I ended up pursuing coaching for my own personal development and growth was I really found myself wanting to really focus on the future and move forward.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the reasons, you know, as I examined kind of my choices, why I ended up not going to therapy or deciding to pursue a therapist. And there's a time and place for that, though I'm not, you know, they're both needed. We probably benefit from both in our lives,
right, exactly.
You know,
at any
given time. It was just for me, the draw of really focusing on the future and moving forward was the draw for me. So in essence, coaching is really about creating that future. And like I said before, it's about increasing your awareness of what's really happening in the core of who you are. And that is what's having an impact on your thoughts and your emotions, which in turn influences the actions that you take. Or let's be honest, the actions you don't take. Okay. And ultimately that influences the results that you experience in your life every day. Right. So when you work with a coach, when you work with someone like me, the goal is to identify the obstacles and the blocks that are getting in your way, and then learn how to reframe, navigate, and respond in a different way that allows you to move forward. And so, like you were saying, that could be in any area. So clients who work with me, who I'm really looking for, are those who are ready to embrace what I call courageous vulnerability.
Mm.
And that's a term that I coined just in my own journey, because I really recognize that the steps that I took coming out and stepping into mm-hmm. required courageous vulnerability. Mm-hmm. It required me to have courage, and it required me to be vulnerable
right.
at the same time. Right. So I'm looking for people who are ready to really embrace that concept as well. Because when you do that, it allows us to step into the possibilities of what could be. So if you're ready to, you know, come out of those limiting beliefs, imposed expectations, and step into your true self-identity, craft, and calling, that's really what the world of coaching and what I'm hoping to bring to the world. So it's someone who, you know, that there's something more and you're willing to do the work, right, to discover what your more is
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and then embrace it. So that is really, when I talk about coaching and who I want to work with and what I'm hoping to bring to the world in a partnership,
mm-hmm.
in a coaching partnership, that's what I'm looking to create.
Nice. That's big.
And, you know, it's interesting, Judy, just to give people, because maybe somebody's never been in a coaching right. situation. So one of the things that we do, or that I do, is every coaching session, we sort of are set, it's set up within a framework that we call a T-goal, right? So it's like a topic that then gets broken down into a specific goal that we want to achieve during that time that we have together.
Okay.
We briefly talk about how are we going to know we achieve that. There's something really specific, that an outcome that we're looking for at the end of our time. And then I'm going to ask you, why is that important to you? Right? Because why are we even talking about this? What's the importance? Mm-hmm. Right? And then from there, it's about asking the person, what do you think you need to address or resolve to achieve that goal? And that's where the conversation starts. Because that's where we start to move towards, what is that limiting belief? What is that obstacle? What is keeping you in that place of stuck, right? And a lot of times what happens then in that conversation is we uncover what we call gales, right?
Gales.
So those are gremlins, assumptions, interpretations, and limiting beliefs, okay? And so to kind of break those down, right? So limiting beliefs are when, you know, you have something that you've accepted about life. And you just live your life based on a belief that you've accepted. And it limits you in some way. Interpretations is a judgment or an opinion that you bring to a situation. So you're interpreting something in a way that maybe isn't true. You think it's true because of the way you're observing it and making judgment on it, but it doesn't necessarily make it true. Is there another way to look at this, mm-hmm. right? An assumption is when you're faced with something and you bring the past into it, and you're assuming that the present and the future are going to unfold the same way because that's how it's always happened in the past. And so you're sort of stuck in this assumption loop and you can't get out of it. So that's another thing. And then the gremlin, that's the big one. That's the one that we fight with probably every day. That's our inner critic.
Mm.
That's that voice that's telling us, bottom line, you're not good enough, right? But it could come out in many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
It could come out, you know, you're too old. Who's going to listen to you? You're not smart enough. You know, whatever, you know, we fill in the blank. What is that gremlin voice, you know, telling you?
Many times gotten from our childhood, I imagine.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Definitely. So those are those things that working with a coach, the coach's job is to just sort of help you see more clearly what's there, right? So I'm not going to give you answers. I'm not going to give you solutions. I'm not going to solve the problem. That's not my job. The answer is already inside of you. It's just a matter of having some of that help and clarity and perspective to get through some of the weeds so that you can see, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. what is it? Can't see the forest for the trees sort of thing, right? So that you can begin to really step into the truth.
Right. And that doesn't mean you won't help people with tools or things like that. It's just you're pulling out the answers and digging in and helping them sift through there.
Yep. Stuff. Yep. And the tools and the resources and the skills all come into play. And if somebody is wanting coaching and they want to just, I just want the strategy, right? Then that's what we focus on, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we focus on. A lot of times more of the transformation and the lasting change comes when somebody gets to a place where they're willing to dig a little deeper below that surface. So then they're able to not only just come up with a strategy, but they're starting to understand a little deeper how they're functioning and the habits and the patterns. Mm-hmm. So then moving forward, now you're empowered to actually continue that progress in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so with every coaching session, ultimately, depending whatever the client is looking at talking about, we come into sort of that goal section right at the end. And for anybody who's ever done goal setting, I know for me, I hear the word SMART goal and I cringe and I want to run as fast as I can the other direction.
Yep.
Right. And so thankfully, actually, within IPEC, one of the things that we learned was an addition, like this little piece that was added to the SMART goal that just really helped me sort of get over all that.
Oh my gosh, that's a gift.
It is. It is a huge gift. And so, yeah, so we call it the AIM SMART. Okay, so the AIM, this AIM piece, and it's the acceptable, ideal, middle. Right. So before you actually get into what is it specific? Is it measurable? Mm-hmm. Is it achievable? Is it realistic? When are you going to do it? In all the SMART stuff. First of all, ask yourself, what's the acceptable minimum of this goal? What is the ideal maximum? Like if I could have the best of the best of this goal. Right. But and then where's that middle ground? Where is the middle that's going to be something that's going to inspire and motivate me because it's above the acceptable minimum, right? It stretches me, but it doesn't stretch me to the point where now I'm freaking out and overwhelmed because it seems so far out of reach and not possible.
Right.
So where is that middle place that stretches me? Now I'm inspired. Now I'm a little bit excited and I have motivation. So now let's talk about, okay, now what specifically are we going to do and how are we going to measure it and all that kind of stuff. So now there's a little more fire in the belly as far as what that goal is.
And I think that is where having a coach to talk through those things, to figure out when you do hit that overwhelm, because I don't think goal setting is always as easy as we make it, right? I think that that's why people don't set them. You know, we talk about the people who set goals, those are the people who succeed. Those are people who make it. And I don't even think it's that it's sometimes that people don't set goals. I think it's that we need to talk through them with somebody and have somebody help us get them to a place where we can see how to attain them and see what is realistic. And their goal that they set was a good goal, but everything was so outstretched and they didn't know how to bring it back. And that's where the coach can come in and kind of like help you get real with you and deep with you so that you are going on the right, you're going on the right path for you rather than just a kind of path that sounds perfectly logical.
Mm-hmm. Right. Or just giving up because now it's just too much. So I'm just giving up. Right.
Exactly. And how often does that happen?
Yeah.
Right. A lot.
Too much. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So I think that's the cool thing about what coaches really can bring is that personalness to it all.
And then what's even interesting too is then when a client comes back the next week and maybe they didn't meet the goal they had set for themselves, that actually can be a very amazing springboard from which to work, because now it's like, well, why? What was going on? And a lot of times that's where these gales come in then. So what's, you know, and so like with the gremlin, so like for instance, like with the gremlin, here's, I'll just kind of share this. People will be interested. If you've never really worked with the idea of an inner voice or a gremlin, one of the things that's very, an amazing exercise to do is to name that gremlin, give it a name, right? And create a visualization, a representation of what this gremlin looks like, okay? So like for me, I went through this exercise, and my gremlin, I named my gremlin Fitzgerald, and AKA Fitz for short. And the visualization that I came up with was I went on Amazon and I found a pocket-sized sock monkey. And a couple different reasons. One, sock monkeys creep me out. And so I thought this is a good representation of this voice. And the other reason is when I thought about what happens to me when Fitz really gets amped up, I get in the spin cycle. And I think most people are going to be able to relate to this. You get in the spin cycle where you're just, your thoughts are going 100 miles an hour. You're in this loop of just self-judgment and all these different things that your gremlin is telling you. And so it feels like my monkey mind is out of control, right? And so Fitz is the sock monkey, right? And he's having a tantrum, right? And so Fitz, right? Fitz tantrum.
Awesome.
Okay, so I kind of put all that together and it just really resonated. So sort of an assignment, right, for all the listeners. You can name your gremlin, create a visualization of that gremlin. And then when that stuff starts coming up, there's a couple things that I encourage people to do. So a little free coaching for you here. You can, first of all, you want to start to pay attention. So start to pay attention to what your gremlin's telling you, what your inner critic is saying, those blurts that come, right? Jot them down. Just start to jot them down. And then you can go back and you can take a look at those. And the next thing you want to do is really get in the space of remembering that the job of your gremlin usually is to protect you in some way. So anytime, and you ask yourself, like, pay attention to when these thoughts start coming. Usually, it's going to be when you start thinking about stepping outside of your comfort zone or going against the status quo, reaching for something bigger. Right? That's when, like for me, that's when Fit starts to get really amped up. Right? So remember that mm-hmm. that's what your gremlin's doing, because it allows you to be a little more compassionate towards it. Right? And then acknowledge and respond to your gremlin. And I kind of look at it, I have three different ways that I respond to Fits. Okay? So one is, when he's just being really annoying, and I just kind of, so if you can envision a little sock monkey sitting on my shoulder, mm-hmm. right? And I'll just kind of look, and I will literally do this, like physically, because there's something about actually engaging in the process that helps you sort of move through this. So I've looked, like he's sitting on my shoulder, look at him. I won't say anything. I'll just flick him off. Like I'm flicking a bug off my shoulder. And then I move on. Right? That's when he's just kind of being a little annoying. Now, if he goes up to the next level and he's starting to get a little more, you know, out of control, and he's trying to make himself heard, that's when I'll respond to him. And I'll just be like, you know, Fitz, thank you for sharing. I really appreciate the fact that you want to protect me, but I got this. It's okay. And it's almost a way of really reaffirming to myself that I'm safe. Mm-hmm. It's okay for me to step outside of my comfort zone, right? And it allows me to keep him from really getting into that spin cycle. Now, when he does get into the spin cycle, and sometimes, you know, things happen, we go 0 to 100, right? And all of a sudden, you're just in the spin cycle. And you don't even know, like, when did this start, right? And that's where, for me, what I do is I take control and I just say, fuck off, Fitz. And it's like, boom. And I just have to be really direct and kind of try to really just stop that. before I can. And then there's other tools and obviously to sort of move forward with whatever the message is.
Right.
But those are just some ways of like when the gremlin rises up, and when you're talking about goal setting and you're struggling with this is where I am, but this is where I want to be.
Right.
And it's why can't I get there? Right. A lot of times it's that gremlin
right
getting in the way.
And I love the being very, like you say, active with it, because in some ways it feels, sounds silly, quote unquote. Those yeah. physical movements mean something.
That's what brings out awareness. And you get better at it all of a sudden. Because a lot of times, I mean, you think about it, when you don't have awareness, you're not gonna move forward.
Right.
You're not even aware that you're not moving forward, right?
Exactly.
And so as you begin to incorporate different exercises, and that's just one example of many different things that you can do, that helps you have that awareness, and it builds that awareness muscle. Right. And the more awareness you have, the faster you can respond, the more consciously you can make decisions in your life. So you're not just being run on autopilot with the subconscious habits and patterns that we've just always walked in all of our lives, right? Now we're starting to break that cycle.
Well, and isn't it interesting? I just think of this, I don't know why this is coming to my mind, but I'm thinking about, I can think of people in my life who I don't need a coach, I don't need a counselor, I don't need a therapist. I know all the information is available to me. Everything is out there. And I think of even just what you were saying was the whole realization of this whole queer world you didn't even know existed. You were a person moving about the world. Yes, you were moving in your circles, but you probably didn't even know how much you were moving in your circles.
Right.
Right. And I think that that's always it's such an interesting thing too. We don't know what we don't know, you know.
Exactly.
What else haven't we talked about that we need to talk about?
Well, do you have any burning questions?
And you've addressed this a little bit, like in each session is kind of, it's a little different, right? Because it's driven by the person, the need, the where they're at.
Right.
What does it look like to work with you? You know, do you kind of have like particular plans of how you're going to work? Or is it really individualized with where the person's at, what they need, all of that?
Yeah. So it could be a little bit of both. And I am exploring some more structured, maybe group coaching type of situations that I'm not quite ready to offer that yet, but I'm playing around with that. But really with the individual, usually what happens is an individual will come in and they kind of have maybe like an overarching main goal. But within that, it really is from week to week, what is going on? What's on the front burner? So it might be that for 3 or 4 weeks, we've been very focused on this larger goal by taking these certain steps that are moving us towards this larger goal long term. But then something happens in life, and then they come to the session, and it has really nothing maybe specifically connected to that longer term goal, but it's hugely important in their life, and that's the focus for that week. And that's what we do. It's really client led. I don't have an agenda. I stay out of the box. It's all about you. It's about what you want to do with the time that you have with me. What do you want to work on? Because that's what's most important. That's what's most pressing. That's what's going to be the next thing that's going to help you take the next step to move forward. Now, whether that's connected to your longer term goal or it's a short term thing, both are important.
That makes sense.
And sometimes a client will start off on track A, right? And they're saying, this is what I want to work on. And we start, and as you know, we're having the conversation, I'll notice a shift. All of a sudden the conversation is sort of shifting, maybe into a deeper level or maybe a tangent. And that's where I want the client to leave, but I'll check in and I'll just say, okay, I'm becoming aware of something that now it seems like we're kind of going down this path, which is fine. But initially you had said this was what you wanted to work on. So I just want to check in with you because, you know, we're halfway through. Do you want to continue to explore what has been brought up, or do you want to go back and refocus on what you initially brought to the session and really let the client make that decision of how they want to kind of bring that session to a close?
Okay.
And sometimes that secondary thing that came out becomes the thing. Like, you know what? I didn't realize that this other thing was, I think this is more important. Let's keep exploring that. And we can go back to that other thing another time.
Right.
Or they'll say, oh, yeah, you're right. yeah, let's go back to that first one because I really did want to get some clarity on that.
Right.
But it's then it's up to them.
Right.
On how they want to direct it.
Right. Mm-hmm. If somebody wants to connect with you, how do they go about doing that? And then talk about the emails that are the email list that they can get onto.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, great. Yeah, I'm in the process of sort of building all that infrastructure online and whatnot. So I have, what I've done is I do have a domain, like a website domain, and it's my name. So it's KariBecken.com, KariBecken.com. And right now I'm in the process of building that website, but what I've done in the meantime is when you go there, there's just going to be a one page, like a landing page, and it's a place where you can get on my email list. And what I did is I put together, sort of playing around with my imagination, right, and stepping out a little bit of courage, and I put together an MP3. It's a little audio visualization for people. So if you sign up on the list, you'll start to get connected into my email list, which I call Querious Beckonings. And so that you'll get on that list and you'll start to just kind of get an idea of some of the content that I'm creating and sort of the heart that I have for coaching and the people I'm looking to connect with. And as a thank you for, you know, saying yes to being a part of that community, you'll get a copy of this MP3. And it's just 3.5 minutes long, but I call it the blank canvas of possibility. And it's just a little, like a little visualization meditation where it encourages you to just step into that playground of imagination and allow yourself to dream again. I say dare to dream again, right? And it's like if you have a magic wand, what would be possible, right? And it allows you to just begin to think about what all the possibilities of life could be. Because I think a lot of us, we get disconnected from that at some point. Mm-hmm. We, you know, as kids, we have all these different dreams and ideas and creativity, and there's an artist in all of us, I believe, in some way, shape, or form, and then life kind of just snuffs it out of most of us, mm-hmm. and we forget. And then at some point in our life, quarter life crisis, midlife crisis, whatever, we start to recognize that we're missing that. Mm-hmm. And so this is just maybe a fun way to prime the pump of possibility again. So yeah, so that's what I've got going as far as website goes, and hopefully the website will be up soon. I'm slowly kind of working on that.
It's all a process.
And then I'm on Facebook, so that's under Kari Becken Coaching. And so if you look for me on Facebook, you could, I'd love it if you'd spin on over there and like the page. And I'm making an effort to build the content creation muscle, you know, be consistent on giving you stuff that's fun, valuable, of service, make you think.
Nice.
You know, both email and Facebook wise. So, yeah, that's pretty much what I've got going, you know, for right now.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. The group coaching is a great way to get to know somebody, mm-hmm. right? Not only do you get your, you know, people to work with, but you get a sense of that person, and I think it's a nice way to do that.
Yeah, that's what I found. It was a good way to just get the feet wet. Yeah, and like I said, when I get that certification, if you want to do that, we talked about you doing the assessment, all you are listening, if we can get Judy to okay, like being in the hot seat, we could maybe even like do the debrief and we can record the debrief.
Right.
And then we can actually talk about it afterwards too. So you could get experience of both, like what a debrief is like.
Right.
And if Judy's willing to sort of be in the hot seat and do that. And then so vote, like leave comments. Go to the Wellness Renaissance Facebook page when this episode comes out. Put the pressure on her. And we'll see if we can get that to go.
I love it.
Because I think that would be a lot of fun. I know Judy would love it. And then I think, like you said, Judy, we learn a lot from other people. Learn a lot when we get to listen into the struggle.
This is true. So, we do. Boy, put your mind in there.
Walk the talk.
That's right. Awesome. Well, this has really been fantastic. It's I'm excited about the work that you're doing and the people that you potentially can serve and work with. I mean, I just think that, you know, I think there are a lot of people who are struggling, and not that somebody who is having, you know, religious or sexual identity struggles needs to go mm-hmm. to you exactly, but I think that there is, for many people, that is a big scary thing, and to know that there is a safe space for that mm-hmm. or a way to person you can just talk about it and explore that and have it be, maybe it's not a big part, but maybe it's a little part. I think that's really huge, that it can enrich and enliven and move forward your whole coaching experience and life experience. Mm-hmm. You're taking all those things into account, and I think it just can make life work so much differently. So I think you provide a really great thing through your experience, and turning that into helping other people. That's so cool.
So, well, thank you. That's my goal. My hope is to, I want to make a difference. You know, I think we all do at some level, you know, make a dent.
Yeah.
Before exactly. we leave this life. Right?
Exactly.
Make a difference.
So, yes. No kidding.
You know, I always offer a 30-minute free discovery call just to have a conversation. So it's no cost to you, just to talk about and explore a little bit more whether or not this is something that is right. Is it the right time? Is this the right partnership, that kind of a thing. So
right yep. It's not helpful for either of you if it's not a great
right.
partnership, or if it's not the right time,
right?
You
yeah
know?
Sometimes it isn't. Yeah. And feel free, you know, shoot me an email too if you have questions, if something in our conversation just kind of triggered a question. Mm-hmm. Yeah, feel free. I'm at coachcarrie@carriebeckin.com. so yeah, shoot me an email.
All right, good deal.
Awesome, Judy, thanks, this was awesome. Yeah. Had a lot of fun.
And I just wanted to give you her website again. It's carriebeckin.com. That's carriebeckin.com. The meditation she gives away for her email list subscribers is quite nice. She has a fantastic voice for doing the meditation, and her emails are great too. There are not too long, and they're very thoughtful and thought-provoking. So check that out. Spoiler alert, she does have her full certification completed. So she is all done with all of that stuff and moving forward. So that is fantastic. Thank you so much for spending your time with us. Have a wonderful week, and may you continue to find the pieces that fit beautifully into your health and wellness puzzle. Take good care.